from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, October 3rd. Coming up, there are numerous federal programs aimed at helping low-income communities access food. But some employees of those programs are paid so little, they've also faced food insecurity or had to work another job. More on that story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The old state capitol in Springfield is now part of the National Underground Railroad Network of Freedom, which recognizes sites as significant to helping African Americans escape slavery. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Marcel Torek is a graduate student at the University of Illinois Springfield and is researching the city's connections to the Underground Railroad.
And when I heard about the Jameson Jenkins story of how he was a neighbor of Lincoln who helped on the Underground Railroad, I just thought, wow, that's crazy that some Underground Railroad activity was going on just a few doors down from Abraham Lincoln's house.
Torek says the old state capitol proved to be an obstacle for African Americans escaping slavery. Several state Supreme Court cases were held in the building involving freedom seekers and the people who helped them. Many of those cases resulted in convictions for all involved. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Uniting Pride held its annual Pride Parade and Vendors Fair this past weekend in downtown Urbana. Jennifer Anderson Bliss of Champaign attended the event with her kids and her mother. She says she appreciates how supportive Champaign-Urbana is of its LGBTQ members.
Well, I think it's fantastic that everyone can feel loved and safe. I think that's something that's really important and something that I really appreciate about living here.
The parade and vendors fair on Saturday were part of Uniting Pride's week-long Pride Fest, which featured nearly 20 events. In a few months, the Unit 4 School Board will vote on a new way to assign students to Champaign Elementary Schools. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the district is concerned about segregation and opportunity gaps between student groups.
Unit 4 began its school choice system in 1998 to help desegregate Champaign schools. Allowing families to choose their child's school hasn't solved the issue of segregation, so the school board decided 2 years ago to do something different. Superintendent Sheila Boozer says she is steering a change that began before she was hired.
This was something that I was asked to lead, something that people said they needed to be fixed, and that's all we're trying to do.
Last week, the school board discussed two options for replacing the choice system. Families can weigh in on the two options via survey throughout October. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Fighting Illini football team improved to 4-1 on the season with a decisive 34-10 win at Wisconsin on Saturday. The Illinois defense held the Badgers to just 2 yards rushing for the game and forced 3 turnovers. Illini head coach Brett Bielema says he felt good about his team's chances going into the game.
Literally, I told him last night in a team meeting at the end, I had a feeling that we're going to play well, and if we played our kind of football and played the way that I've seen them play and the way that we asked them to be coached, I thought we could have success.
It was Illinois' first win at Wisconsin since 2002. Chase Brown rushed for 129 yards and a touchdown, extending his school record streak of 100-yard games to 6. Next for the Illini is a home game Saturday night against Iowa. The Hawkeyes lost at home on Saturday to Michigan to fall to 3-2 this season. Still to come, we'll learn about people who work to help others access programs addressing food insecurity, who need those programs themselves because of low wages. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. About 10% of U.S. households are food insecure, and there are a number of federal programs in place to help bring that number down. One of those programs is the Supplemental Nutrition Education Program, or SNAP-Ed, which involves educating food stamp recipients about low-budget eating. But according to an investigation by Harvest Public Media and the Midwest Newsroom, some employees of the SNAP-Ed program are paid so little that they themselves are experiencing food insecurity. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports.
Hi, guys. Would you like to try some roasted garbanzo beans?
Once a month on a Saturday morning, Del Jacobs sets up a booth at the Urbana Farmers Market in central Illinois. People periodically walk by her booth, which today features a simple, healthy recipe.
and then put it in the oven at 400 for 40 to 50 minutes. I go longer because I like a crunch.
This is just one of Dell's responsibilities as a SNAP Ed community worker. She also runs community cooking classes, visits food pantries, and teaches SNAP recipients how to eat healthy on a budget. But this, meeting people at the farmers market, is her favorite part of the job.
I just love talking to people of all walks of life, and that's what I get to do in this job.
What Dell doesn't like about the job is the pay. At the time we met, Dell was making $13.79 per hour. She'd been working there for 6 years, and over that time, her pay increased by just a dollar an hour. She says the pay is so low that, ironically, she herself has qualified for SNAP benefits. She took an additional job to make ends meet.
Once a week, I clean a house for $25 an hour. And isn't that sad that I get more for cleaning a house?
Dell's not alone. According to an investigation by Harvest Public Media and the Midwest Newsroom, SNAP Ed employees across the Midwest make on average about $13 an hour. The SNAP Ed program is grant funded through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. In most Midwestern states, it's run by a land grant university. So in Dell's case, the University of Illinois determines her wage. Jennifer McCaffrey is the SNAP Ed program coordinator in Illinois. She knows that some of her employees struggle financially.
Yeah, it does concern me, but you kind of have to find out, well, what does this individual need that can help them? So is it more affordable housing? It runs the gamut, right?
Dell says what she needs is a higher wage, which she did finally receive just recently. She now makes $16.51 an hour. And she's not alone. In just the last few months, workers in Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, and Oklahoma also received wage increases. Candace Gable is the program director in Oklahoma. She just successfully raised her employees' wages from $10 to $12 an hour. But she says that's still not high enough to attract and retain workers.
You can't hire anybody because they're so low, because you can go to work at McDonald's in Tulsa and make $15 an hour.
But Gable only has so much wiggle room. After all, SNAP Ed is a USDA grant-funded program. So if she wants to increase wages, she probably has to cut the number of positions.
And if we don't have enough people to reach the population, then how are we going to meet our goals?
Goals like reducing Oklahoma's high obesity rate or teaching healthy eating habits to children. To do that and pay her employees a living wage, Gable says she needs more money from the USDA. The USDA declined to speak on the record for this story, but did send a statement emphasizing that it's up to each state to determine staff salaries. But there's a cap to each state's SNAP Ed funding allocation. That number is determined by a formula in the Farm Bill, which is set to be reaffirmed next year. A new formula could mean more money for states, and by extension, for SNAP Ed workers like Dell Jacobs. And while Dell did get a recent raise, she says she's still fighting to earn a living wage. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have more sunshine today with a high of 72 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Sydney Wood, Emily Hayes, and Dana Cronin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.